Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, May 25th, 2018. In light of this being the Memorial Day weekend and wanting to honor our vets and those that serve in our armed forces and the many families that have lost loved ones or are intimately feeling the weight of this holiday weekend, I was introduced to a special called Fearless, hosted by Chris Fabry. Many of you are familiar with him from the Moody Broadcasting Network and his program Chris Fabry Live, and also author Eric Blem, as they recount the biography of Adam Brown, who was a Navy SEAL of the elite SEAL Team 6. And so over the next hour, you're going to hear his story about faith, family, and being a patriot of this country. Here's some opening remarks about Fearless.
When Navy SEAL Adam Brown woke up on March 17, 2010, he didn't know he would die that night in the mountains of Afghanistan, but he was ready.
When Adam was shot, Adam did so trying to protect his brothers. He did so trying to position himself to get an advantage to protect his unit.
As a member of the elite SEAL Team 6, Adam Brown's heroism and humanity was grounded in his love for God, for his country, and his wife and kids.
Every day, he's inspired me to be a better father, better husband, a better person. When I'm, you know, having my own little pity party about something going on in my life, and I think, you know, look what Adam overcame.
Adam Brown had a profound impact on his friends and his family, and in particular, his parents.
The old saying that freedom is not free, really, it brings that home. We know that there are many men that have sacrificed, and it isn't free. It cost our blood and treasure.
Coming up, a story of undaunted courage and ultimate sacrifice of Navy SEAL Team 6 operator Adam Brown, a devoted father and husband, an unlikely hero, a true warrior, and a man described by all who knew him as fearless.
Be brave, stand tall, believe you'll get stronger. Whenever you fall, each time life brings you pain, keep faith, rise up above that voice that keeps calling your name in the dark. Walk on, you're not alone.
Welcome to the Fearless Radio Special, and thank you for joining us for this special program. Today we're going to hear from a number of friends and family of Adam Brown. We'll talk with Eric Blem, the author of the New York Times bestseller, Fearless. We'll speak with Adam's wife, Kelly, and with his parents. We'll also have a conversation with a Navy SEAL who trained and served with Adam. Long before he became a member of the elite SEAL Team 6, the counterterrorism unit that took down Osama bin Laden, Adam was a fun-loving country boy from Hot Springs, Arkansas. An undersized daredevil, prone to jumping off roofs into trees and off bridges into lakes. He was a kid who broke his own bones, but would never break a promise to his parents. Adam had one goal in his life, to become the best of the best, a U.S. Navy SEAL. His final act of bravery led to the ultimate sacrifice. Chris Fabry talked with Eric Blem, the author of Adam Brown's biography titled Fearless, about this man of faith and family.
Eric, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Chris, thanks for having me.
You heard about Adam Brown how, and why did you decide to write this?
You know, the story of Adam Brown really was a gift to me. A friend of the Brown family and members of his team, SEAL Team 6, approached me after he'd read one of my previous books, The Only Thing Worth Dying For. And he felt that I could be the person to write the story and just wanted to put us together, put me in contact with Kelly Brown and Larry and Janice and the family and those guys. And after we spoke for a while and they understood that I just wanted to tell the story. I never write anything that's pro-war, anti-war. There's no political agenda. I feel like the power in any story is the story itself. And that's what I did, and that's what they knew I would do, and that's how it all came to be.
I think a lot of people are fascinated with what a writer will do with, you know, some historical figure, with somebody. We've seen recent films about baseball players and others. How did you boil down his life and career in the pages of this book?
You know, Adam Brown, first of all, he overcame so much. It really is a comeback story. It's the prodigal son meets SEAL Team 6, and it was very timely historically in our place and time with the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. And to place an individual like Adam into that setting and have a person who has that ability to turn the switch to be this lethal warrior, but at the same time you get a real deep understanding of his life as a father, as a husband, as a son, and then take a step back further and realize that this is an individual who came back from probably one of the darkest places anybody could imagine on Earth, crack addiction, and to rise to that very top level of SEAL Team 6, it's just not only fascinating, it's unbelievable. And when you hear a story like that and you want to speak to people to not only hear more about Adam, but just to confirm, is this for real? Is this guy real? Because he's like a Jedi.
Yes. Well, what about the difference then in talking with his family, his parents, his wife, you know, getting that view of him and then getting the view of him from those who were in combat with him? Was this two different guys?
You know, a little bit of Adam Brown soaked through into all aspects of his life. And I would say his teammates were inspired by him for that family man, for that husband. He was a guy who would put little notes into the sugar bowl and hide them around his house for his wife to find when he deployed. So he was an inspiration to them in that regard. But at the same time, every one of them said Adam Brown was fearless in every aspect of his life. He wasn't afraid to share and show his faith. He was a Christian. He was a strong. He was a man of God. At the same time, he was a patriot, and he would take a mission and run with it. And failure was not an option. And that's really how he led his life. That's what gave him the strength. It was his love of God, love of country, love of family that allowed him to rise above crack addiction. And at the same areas where he pulled strength to become this elite warrior that all of his teammates, all of his brothers in the brotherhood said, Adam Brown, top 1%, he was fearless.
What did he have to overcome then in his rise to qualify for that SEAL Team 6?
SEAL Team 6 is a special missions unit. It's a counterterrorism unit, and they are the best of the best, the top 1% from the SEAL teams. And to get to that point, you not only have to be tough enough to make it through the hellacious qualification process, you also have to qualify and perform at the very top level. So they're not only looking for the guys who are tough enough, they're looking for the guys who are good enough. And on top of that, it's like a draft. It's like an NFL draft where if you have anything in your past where you have some bad marks on your personality, where you did someone wrong on the teams or did something that someone else didn't think was at the level of a SEAL warrior, it's going to come out and you will not make it to that top level SEAL Team 6. So it's a personality draft, it's a skills draft, and it's a toughness draft. And you have to get all those levels. On top of that, Adam Brown overcame crazy physical injuries, the loss of his dominant right eye, his right hand, the fingers were severed in a Humvee accident in a combat zone in Afghanistan, and he rose above those injuries. He could have quit at any time. He could have had a nice medical discharge and pension for the rest of his life, but he chose to turn around and say, hey, you know what? I lost my eye. I'm going to become a sniper, but I'm going to learn to shoot left-handed. I lost my fingers. I'm going to learn to shoot pistol left-handed. And so what he had to do is he had to react in stressful situations, in a SWAT team situation, clearing a house, clearing a building, grenades going off, enemy shooting at him. And he had to retrain his whole being to react left when his whole life he had acted right. And that's just a snapshot of what he had to overcome. That's not even going back to the idea that he overcame crack addiction to even make it into the Navy. That's something that few make it through. It's an addiction that will rule your world, and Adam had to overcome that.
We are trying to distill this amazing story, and Eric Blehm has done a beautiful job with this book, Fearless. I want to go to the point in March on the 17th, 2010, Afghanistan, when Adam's life was taken. What happened on that final mission?
He was on a mission where there is a high-level insurgent Taliban leader who had tipped his hand. He had had already killed American coalition forces, and he was planning to do so again. Intelligence confirmed this. And in essence, his team, SEAL Team 6, was asked to fly into a hornet's nest, not only infiltrate and kick the hornet's nest, but to go inside the hornet's nest, completely surrounded by enemy in a very remote area in the Hindu Kush Mountains, and surgically take out this leader because they knew he was about to perform an ambush on an American unit in the region. And I will just say, and for the purposes of this interview, Adam Brown performed heroically. Something had to be done to accomplish this mission, and it put his own life in danger. But being the team player that he was, he did it to keep his fellow teammates out of danger, out of harm's way. And he did so. The mission was accomplished, but Adam Brown lost his life.
Eric, Fearless was released in hardcover. New York Times bestseller list, 17 weeks. It got as high as number 7 in nonfiction. What kind of feedback have you received from readers?
It's been astounding. This morning, just before this interview, to kind of get my heart into this, into the interview, I read back through some of the emails. In about a year, I've gotten almost 7,000 emails from various readers, either made out to me or to the Brown family. And all of them just are a testament to Adam's legacy, how he has inspired people to rise out of their own dark places. I mean, Adam Brown, one of the things, his final wishes in his, if he were ever killed in combat, he wrote down, I want people to know who I was before I became a SEAL, before I was this person who, you know, was a hero. And he wanted people to learn that he did have skeletons in his closet. And at one point in his life, he was a criminal. He was a dirtbag. He was living in the gutter, stealing from his own family and friends. And he wanted people to know that because he wanted to inspire others to rise up from their own dark places. And I've gotten so many emails and letters from people who have read it that are in those dark places, addiction. There's been people who have been inspired in the medical field who have read Adam's story and how his mantra was, I got it. I can do this. I got it. And there's some examples of people who have had those situations in their own professional lives and personal lives where they've read the book and they feel that he's given them the strength. So that's kind of the legacy that Adam Brown left behind, his ability to inspire even from the grave.
As a writer, you can simply tell the story and then move on to the next subject, and no one would fault you for that. I sense that you've been impacted by and inspired by his story.
So much. Adam Brown, every day, he's inspired me to be a better father, a better husband, a better person. I mean, Adam's one person who keeps telling me, you know, get back on the horse, get back on the bike, and soldier on.
Eric, thanks for telling the story of Adam Brown.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor.
You've been listening to the Fearless Radio Special and a conversation between Chris Fabry and his special guest, Eric Blem, the author of the New York Times best-selling book titled Fearless, The Undaunted Courage and Ultimate Sacrifice of Navy SEAL Team 6 Operator Adam Brown. You can discover more about the life of Adam Brown at fearlessnavyseal.com. That's fearlessnavyseal.com. Coming up next on the Fearless Radio Special.
I realized that I knew a man named Jesus, but I didn't know who he was. And I got down on my knees in our kitchen one night and asked Jesus to come into my heart. And he did. And he changed my life.
A conversation with Adam Brown's parents. That's next.
You're listening to a special titled Fearless, recounting the biography of Adam Brown, who is a part of the elite SEAL Team 6, a faithful, committed follower of the Lord Jesus Christ that believed in faith, family, and serving this country. This one-hour broadcast is archived at greatnewsradio.org, and you can find out more about Fearless at fearlessnavyseal.com. That's fearlessnavyseal.com. Back to the special broadcast.
A friend said Fearless was the best book that he'd ever read. But he warned me, read it alone because you're going to be bawling your eyes out. He was right. From the moment I picked the book up, I couldn't put it down. And I found myself on a flight reading the final two chapters, doing my best to hold back the emotion. Adam's story has inspired and challenged me to be a better father, husband, and friend. And my hope is by putting the story in as many hands as possible, it'll drive us lucky civilians to support the warriors that make our lives possible. You can live fearless.
Welcome back to the Fearless Radio Special, the undaunted courage and ultimate sacrifice of Navy SEAL Team 6 operator Adam Brown. Fearless is an absorbing chronicle of heroism and humanity, a portrait of a highly trained warrior who would enter a village with weapons in hand to hunt terrorists, only to come back the next day with an armload of shoes and meals for local children. Chris Fabry talked with Adam's parents, Larry and Janice Brown, about their son's extraordinary life.
Larry, Janice, thanks for talking about this story, a painful story, but also a hopeful one.
Well, thank you for having us here. We're always glad to talk about Adam.
Even from the moment of his birth, he was fearless. How did you see glimpses of his future in Adam as a child?
Almost from the very beginning, Adam was climbing, jumping. We were constantly going back and forth to get stitches at the doctor's office. And so we finally just started using butterfly bandages ourselves. But all the times that he was hurt, it didn't seem to bother him that bad. He didn't cry. He was always jumping off our back deck, which was way too high for him. I was always getting on to him. But he'd have a friend come over, and he'd have to go show him how he could jump off that deck.
Larry, what about on the football field? How did Adam play?
Adam played with abandon, just like he did everything else. He was not a very big child, especially before he was a senior in high school. But he just played hard. He had no fear. And he would hit you and hit you hard. But he would not quit. He had no quit in him.
It sounds like he was determined then, almost coming through the birth canal and then with the rest of his life. It was just that he was a determined young man. Now, after high school, though, he started going down kind of a dangerous path. What happened to this all-American boy who helped lead his team to that state football championship? How did that turn toward a dangerous path?
Well, when Adam went off to college, you know, he had been with a really good group of kids at school, and they really enjoyed everything they did. But when he went to college, he was kind of lost, and he didn't have his friends there, and he got in with a group of friends that he shouldn't have. And Adam, once he does anything, he does it all the way. And once he tried drugs, he was just head over heels. It was, it had him, and it had him bad.
And that brought you to your knees, in a sense. During these dark days, you decided you couldn't do it. You couldn't help fix him. There's only one way to do that. And what did that send you toward, Janice?
Well, at that time, we were trying everything we could to help Adam, and nothing we did worked. And we were one more time trying to figure out what to do when Larry just took my hand and he said, "We cannot do this. We need God. We've got to go to church." And up until that time, I had never prayed or asked God to help. Larry was raised in a family that went to church all the time. My family, I was raised by my grandparents, and they were very good people, but we didn't go to church and we didn't pray. But when Larry said, "We need God," it was just immediate. I was like, yes, that's what we need to do. So the next day that the doors opened at the church, we were there. I realized that I knew a man named Jesus, but I didn't know who he was. I got down on my knees in our kitchen one night and asked Jesus to come into my heart. And he did. And he changed my life.
Many times when something like this happens, you think, well, it's all going to be better now. But you turned your lives over to God, but Adam didn't immediately turn around, did he?
No, it was a process. Adam was in jail, and it finally dawned on him, his desire and his need for God and for Jesus in his life.
What about, Janice, those who are listening, parents who have children who are going through this drug addiction? What would you say to them about what you experienced in Adam's road to recovery?
I truly think the main thing that we did was, when we did turn our life to God, just put him in God's hands. And we tried to be prayed up and ready when Adam would come to us. We always loved him. We told him we would talk to him. We wanted to help him and that we were there for him no matter what. But that we had rules, and if you're going to be continuing this lifestyle, you're not allowed in our home. We do want to hear from you. But we just had to take a stand and say, you know, Adam, God's in charge of you now, and we love you, but that's as far as we can go.
So God gets a hold of Adam's life. He comes out of this spiral, and he moves toward the military. Larry, did that surprise you at all?
Well, not really. After he come out of Teen Challenge, it surprised me that the military was willing to accept him after all the things that he had been into. But God had that worked out, too. He had a friend that was in charge of the Navy recruiting to give him all the waivers that he needed. So, you know, God was in that just like he was in everything else.
Can you tell me about the day when you heard the news?
It was early in the morning, and I had just finished my quiet time, and the doorbell rang. It was about 6 in the morning, and four men in dress blue uniforms standing at the door. And it's just, you know why they're there, but it sure don't make it easy. But it's a very, that's one of those memories that's lodged forever in your mind, you know.
It's almost like time stops, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How are you doing today with that loss?
With that loss, it stays with you. You've thought about that before, but you never let yourself dwell on that. But then when it happens, it's you're kind of in a fog for a week or so.
I think the first thing after the initial shock, all we could think about is we had to get to Kelly and the kids because we knew how devastating this was going to be for them. And they had notified her the night before about midnight. And they had asked her not to call us because they wanted to have the men come to our door and be there with us. And so she had told them, be sure and get there early because Larry would leave for work. So as soon as we had our senses about us, we were on the phone with her in making arrangements to get up to Virginia Beach to be with her and the kids.
I think this story, Adam's story, illustrates the cost involved in serving our country, don't you think?
Well, you know, before I had known people and had several friends killed in Vietnam even, but the old saying that freedom is not free, really, it brings that home. We know that there are many men that have sacrificed, and the sacrifice that they've made is the ultimate, and it isn't free. It costs our blood and treasure.
Thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
What we've been featuring is a conversation with our host, Chris Fabry, and Larry and Janice Brown, the parents of Adam Brown. You're listening to the Fearless Radio Special, the undaunted courage and ultimate sacrifice of Navy SEAL Team 6 operator Adam Brown. To learn more about the life of Adam Brown, the website is fearlessnavyseal.com. That's fearlessnavyseal.com. Coming up next on the Fearless Radio Special.
I spend the day going to exercise with my girlfriend, going and having a smoothie, and then going to Target to shop and just hanging out and picking up the kids. But that's what I was doing the day my husband died, and I didn't know it.
A conversation with Adam's wife, Kelly Brown. It's next.
Well, you may be wondering what's going on with the programming. Well, in light of Memorial Day weekend, I was introduced to this special feature called Fearless, recounting the biography of Adam Brown, who is an elite Navy SEAL who gave his life serving this country. And because it talked about his faith and family and his commitment to serving others, I trust this message will have powerful points of application for you. You're listening to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, giving Pastor Jason Schiffo the day off. And I'd hope this weekend and certainly on Monday that you'll have encouraging words for those you know that served in our armed forces, any veterans you see, and saying an encouraging words to those families that have lost loved ones serving this great country. We'll return to the final segment of this one-hour special titled Fearless, and you can find out more at fearlessnavyseal.com. That's fearlessnavyseal.com.
I'm a nurse in a small rural hospital. My team resuscitated a child whose heart and breathing stopped. Had I not been reading about Adam's life in Fearless, his struggles and triumphs, I would not have felt such peace while leading the resuscitation. I told the team, I got this, and dove straight in and started compressions on this tiny little chest. Afterward, I recalled that this was Adam's catchphrase. This book has renewed my faith. I'm stronger and better for it.
Welcome back to the Fearless Radio Special, the undaunted courage and ultimate sacrifice of Navy SEAL Team 6 operator Adam Brown. Fearless is a deeply personal, revealing glimpse inside the SEAL Team 6 brotherhood that also shows how these elite operators lived out the rest of their lives away from danger as husbands, fathers, and friends. Popular radio broadcaster and author Dennis Rainey sat down with Adam's wife, Kelly Brown, and talked about the gift that God gave her in her husband, Adam.
Adam was deployed how many times?
I'd have to count them all up. Probably at least 8 times, maybe more.
Take us to the last deployment and the picture that you asked the guard to take.
Mm-hmm. You know, this was his last deployment. We had looked at this as, you know, Nathan's getting ready to start middle school. That was our agreement in the beginning. You know, we want to be home. He wants to be an engaged father. He wants to be there for his son and his daughter. The life of a SEAL, especially that command, did not make that easy. So it was his last deployment, and we were going to move home. So we kind of had all these ideas in our head and, you know, all these things that we were kind of planning to do. So with him deploying, it was just like, okay, let's just do this. Let's get it done. Just go do it and then just come home. I wasn't worried about it. There wasn't any apprehension. It's like, baby, just go do your job and come home. We've done this long enough. Let's come home. So that night, though, dropping him off at the command, February 26th, I'll never forget it. I spent the whole day with them. I saw him, you know, picking up the kids, and their legs have definitely gotten longer at this point. This is a long time we've been doing this, and the sadness in my children's faces and the sadness in Adam's eyes. I knew at this point he didn't want to go anymore. He wanted to stay, even though he was very devoted to his job. And he was very proud of what he was doing, and he knew he was doing a good thing. So, you know, as far as that went, it was okay, but he didn't want to leave his family anymore. And so I, for some reason, I've never done this in the past, but I was like, Adam, please, there's a gate guard right here. Do you mind if I just ask him to take one picture? Just one. I just want one of us dropping you off. I don't have one, and I just would really like all of us. So we all hopped out of the car, and Adam was like, oh. And so the gate guard did. He was so nice, and he took that picture. And I'm so thankful I have that picture now, because that was the last time we saw. They say a picture's worth 1,000 words, and there's so much truth to that.
Wow, yeah.
Because that was the last time we said our goodbyes, and I just remember holding his face, and he promised me to be home. But, you know, he promised me to come home, and I believe that. He was tough. He was invincible. So I was like, okay, just go knock this out. Come home. We're going to move back to Arkansas, and we're going to start enjoying our life with our family. But then, you know, we would have email conversations and, you know, phone conversations. And I always knew that, and we both knew that we could, like, look at each other's email and see if they read our last email to see if they're, because I didn't know where he was. And there were times where he wouldn't be able to access his email or something. But I know if he read it, he got it. So at least he's okay. And vice versa with me. So March 17th, you know, I'd sent him an email I thought he should respond to, but I hadn't heard from him. And so it was St. Patrick's Day. So my concern was making sure the kids had green on to go to school. Huh. I think about the pettiness of that day in my life as an American.
Yeah.
I knew what we had, what we were up against, but even my husband's out there. And I spend the day of, you know, going to exercise with my girlfriend, going and having a smoothie at, you know, and then going to Target to shop and just hanging out and picking up the kids, making sure they're wearing green and have a little green dessert. But that's what I was doing the day my husband died. And I didn't know it. But, you know, I was, I checked to see if he got his email, and he hadn't. And then at that point, I put the kids to bed, and then I went to take a shower, trying to clear my head and trying to shake the feelings of, why am I feeling so sad right now? I got this huge, overwhelming sense of sadness, and I didn't understand why. I've never been like this on a deployment. I mean, I knew it was hard, but I was a seasoned wife, so to speak. I knew what to expect, and I didn't know why I felt this way. So I got out of the shower, and I started to pray for him because I felt like he was sad. I felt like a sense of sadness come over him that he was away from us. And I didn't want him to be sad and be away from us. So I was like, God, just please, you know, give him your peace and comfort and just let him know that we're all thinking of him. And I know it's hard that he's gone from us, but we think about him. He's the topic of our conversation every day. And so I prayed for his, you know, for him to be able to, you know, rest peacefully and just know that. But I had no idea what I was praying about. You know, I went to bed just with images of like funerals and stuff. I'm like, that would be awful is what I was saying. I'm like, what? I was like, Kelly, this is ridiculous. Stop this. Like, quit and just go to sleep. So I did. I fell asleep after struggling with some of those images in my mind. And I think it's from the past deployments and the stuff I had to see him, you know, go through. And it was just taking me to this place. That's what I thought. And I'd fallen asleep. And that's when, you know, I started hearing, I thought it was my dream, but I heard knocking in my dream. And it was like the second round of knocking, and I started coming to, and then I heard a doorbell. And so I'd gone to bed about 10:30 that night, and this was around midnight. So I hadn't been asleep that long, and the doorbell rang. And so that's when I immediately knew.
Yeah.
Because why would I have had that feeling? So I started making this walk to our door, our front door, and I just stood there, and I didn't want to open it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to open it, but I did. I had to open it. I had to accept it or see what was about to happen. And then I see, you know, I hear him talking. I'm not listening to any of the words. I don't think I can even understand them. But I saw our friends, and I knew they wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do that to me. This would not be a cruel joke. You know, and then I heard my kids. I guess I'd kind of, my knees got weak maybe, and they just kind of held me up, and I didn't know how I was going to tell them. I didn't know what to say, or I was in shock, and I couldn't believe it. This was Adam Brown. This was my husband, and he's not supposed to leave me. And now I have to tell our two children. So I just set them in my lap, and I told them, you know, Daddy's gone to heaven. He's with Jesus now, so his eyes are good, his hand is good, his leg is good, and he doesn't feel any pain, and he's in a very happy place. And they just screamed out, they didn't understand. It just didn't make sense that this man that I'd known for so long and went through so much with and my strength or, you know, he was gone.
Kelly, Adam was buried 7 days later at a small cemetery, and his buddies, Navy SEAL Team 6, weren't there.
No, they weren't. There were a few there. The ones that actually flew to Dover and met me, Kevin Houston, John Foss, and Brian Bill, they stayed with me by my side for probably a good month after Adam's passing. And they escorted me everywhere. They stood in front of me to, you know, even like, during the viewings and stuff, they were there for me. And, you know, there's a picture of John Foss and I when we're watching Adam arrive in the hot springs together. And, I mean, they were my shoulder. You know, they were there for me. So there were three that were present from that night that were with me. And I'm so thankful for that.
They were able to come back, though,
at a
later time.
Yes, after they finished their deployment, Kevin and John and Brian had also gone ahead and met back up with them. And they all came home. So at this point, all of Adam's troop returned to Arkansas, and not just the troop. It was pretty much the whole command. And so we had planes of just SEALs flying in the hot springs, and it just overtook the town, and they wanted to perform a funeral. And Adam's last wishes were that people knew the story of the resurrection and make sure people understood Jesus Christ and what he had done for him. And so his father, in front of all these command members and SEALs, and told them about Christ, shared Christ with them, and said that that is what had redeemed and restored Adam, and that he can do the same for any of you. And he was just trying to make that wish for Adam granted.
Yeah, here's the thing that impacted me. These men had seen Jesus Christ in Adam, in inconceivable circumstances. I mean, incredibly tough stuff.
Yes.
they were his friends, his fellow warriors. And in your book, I moved from weeping to laughter at what these guys did to honor Adam. Highway 70 bridge that Adam had jumped off of from a moving convertible as a 16-year-old.
The guys come home, and, you know, the guys of Two Troop, they decided while we were out on the lake that they were going to, in honor of Adam, get up on that bridge and jump off themselves. So I'm sitting there on the back of a jet ski, and I did not know they were doing this. And I just start seeing all these men walking across the bridge. And
that's a high bridge. We've already established it's either 50 or 60 feet tall.
Yes, it's a pretty tall bridge. And so, you know, our cars are honking at this point, and you just see them. It was such a presence. They all lined up on the bridge, and, you know, they got like hand, you know, they'd spread their arms out to knuckle punch each other. And they all pounded fist and said, you know, for Adam. And they jumped off into the water. And so, you know, all of them did it. And it was so inspiring, and it just made my heart swell with such pride that my husband served with men like these.
What you've been listening to is a conversation with broadcaster and author Dennis Rainey and Adam's wife, Kelly Brown. We'll hear more from Kelly at the close of our program. This is the Fearless Radio Special, the undaunted courage and ultimate sacrifice of Navy SEAL Team 6 operator Adam Brown. The life of Adam Brown is chronicled on the website fearlessnavyseal.com. That's fearlessnavyseal.com. Coming up on the Fearless Radio Special.
When Adam was shot, Adam did so trying to protect his brothers. He did so trying to position himself to get an advantage to protect his unit.
A conversation with one of Adam's close friends and Navy SEAL teammates. We'll be right back.
One day, after reading about the interactions that Adam had with his wife and children, I was looking at my wife and my four beautiful children and realized that my true purpose in life was to provide for my family and keep them safe spiritually and physically. In the book Fearless, Kelly asked why this happened to her husband. And I think the answer is to inspire people like me to live their lives with a higher purpose.
Welcome back to the Fearless Radio Special, the undaunted courage and ultimate sacrifice of Navy SEAL Team 6 operator Adam Brown. Fearless is the story of a man of extremes whose courage and determination was fueled by faith, family, and the love of a woman. It's about a man who waged war against his own worst impulses and persevered to reach the top tier of the U.S. military. Chris Fabry spoke with one of Adam Brown's Navy SEAL Team 6 teammates and close friend.
Brian, thanks for making some time today to talk about Adam.
Oh, absolutely, Chris. Anything for him and Kelly and the family.
How did you meet Adam Brown, and what was your impression of him?
Well, I met Adam Brown the first day that I showed up for SEAL training out in Coronado. And my first interaction, you know, he's a quiet guy up front and when you first meet him, and he was very motivated and seemed to be focused on always trying to do the right thing and extremely gung-ho.
How did that make you feel to see this? It almost sounds like his quiet strength.
Well, Chris, just being around Adam, you kind of got a feel for the kind of person he was. Definitely was the quiet professional. When it needed to be, where he needed to speak up, he wasn't scared to, had no fear to do so. But he also understood that getting the job done and doing it correctly with honor and integrity was kind of the most important thing to do.
So it sounds like a born leader almost. And what about the rest of the SEAL Brotherhood? What sort of reputation did he have?
Well, Adam's always a go-to guy. If you ever needed anything or anybody needed to count on someone, he had your back. I mean, we're all a brotherhood. We all look after each other. But he had that extra spirit in him, that one that people would know. And if, in the event of a bad situation, you have Adam on your side, you know you'd feel a lot more comfortable.
Hmm. What do you think enabled him then to qualify for SEAL Team 6?
Well, being a SEAL, you're required to have a never-quit attitude. If you don't have it, you're not going to make it. Well, Adam kind of emulated that. And if he couldn't do something or couldn't figure out a way to do it, he would push harder until he figured it out. If you look back in his history of the way he lived his life, he would never want to be told he couldn't do something. So I think it was inevitable that he was going to reach his goal. It was just a matter of how he was going to do it and with how much energy and enthusiasm, motivation that he could do it with. It wasn't a question of if.
We've been hearing these stories, and we're trying to just get this concept of who he was as a dad, as a husband, as a young man. He overcame several injuries that a lot of people would have said, you know, your career's over, including, you know, being shot, blinded in one eye, having his fingers crushed by a Humvee. Determination almost sounds like his middle name, and that's what it took.
Well, determination was an understatement. He was the soul of family, country, God, and that's how he ran his life. And anything that came between him and what he was trying to accomplish for that entity or for that person or for that overlying power, he would do it. And just that he emulated every day, just the determination to the point where it baffled people, the things that he could accomplish.
Is there anything that is there like an image of him that you recall? If you close your eyes and you think, you know, you try to conjure up an image of him, what comes to your mind?
Well, there are some funny ones and some stories and things that he told us and things that we had seen him do for his wife and for his kid. But quite honestly, one that's always the most touching and where I really knew that Adam and his family would be my family forever is Adam's wife, when he was out at the island, she had been pregnant up into that, obviously up into the point where we were going to go, and she was due to go into labor sometimes towards the middle to the end of training. And when he was away with me and we were out doing finishing up our training, his wife went into labor, and she didn't tell him because she didn't want to distract him and keep him from completing what he had to do, because she knew as a result he would probably get rolled and, you know, it would be devastating, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, obviously that's a quick example of her determination for her husband. But back to the point is, I remember when we did show up and we did come back, as soon as we got back, we were showering up and he got the call that his wife showed up and she brought out his brand new boy to him. And it's the first time that he had seen his baby boy, and I was right to the right side of him, and he put him in one hand and he held him up. He says, you know, he's so small, you know, so is that all right? And he was comical the way he had done it. And it was with pure love and admiration to this incredible little man that he had in his hand. And that became his pride and joy. And just to watch him light up and to see how big that smile went from ear to ear, that was one part of his life that whenever he was with his kids or with his wife, it was entirely that shift or that switch we talk about, where you go from 0 to 100, but in this case go from operator, warrior, etc., to husband, father, and mentor. Adam was one of the most special people I've ever met. And quite honestly, every point of his life from when he was born until, you know, the day that he had died, he lived that way. He never faltered. I mean, he always, if he fell down, he would get back up. When I say never faltered, he never gave up. And that's really what made him, I think, a legend amongst all of us, is that that determination, if you can take that in your everyday life and just take 1 ounce of it, it'll keep you going.
The circumstances of the death of Adam Brown, we've heard a little bit from Eric Blem, who has written about this, and he's tried to capture this on the page. But I don't think that those of us who are civilians will ever be able to know what it's like in the crucible of a firefight like he went through. What goes through your mind? Can you at all paint a picture of what he went through?
Chris, I mean, it's pretty simple. I think, you know, I don't know what stories have been officially released. I don't know. But I can tell you this for sure, is that when Adam was shot, Adam did so trying to protect his brothers. He did so trying to position himself to get an advantage to protect his unit. Just again, another example of his selfless devotion. No matter what, how intense the situation, no matter how personal the situation, he was always dedicated to that goal, and that goal was a selfless devotion to the people around him.
And how then were you affected by that? What kind of difference did that make in your life?
I mean, you know, losing Adam is losing a brother. We've lost a lot of brothers over the last decade or so. And if anything, you know, in some of the memorial services, we've had some great speakers. And one thing that I've tried to take out of it is, you know, to honor these guys, you know, take those legends, take with their selfless devotion, take their fact that they were the best warriors on earth. They're the best patriots on earth. They're the best fathers, the best uncles, the best friends, the best husbands, and use that in your daily life. You know, honor them as you go forward.
Hmm. Well, when we honor people, we remember those who have served us, served in the military. What would you want people listening to know about how to do that. How do you best honor our servicemen and women?
You know, of course, I've heard a lot of statements about how people feel, what side they're on. And I think to this point, every person that we remember, at least in the conflict that we're discussing briefly, we're all volunteers. You know, they're doing it because they want to do it, because they believe in something. And regardless if you're drafted and they lost their life or they were volunteers, they gave themselves to a selfless devotion to a cause, and it was for what we all felt as a majority was in the best interest of our countries, our families, and the people that that mean the most to us. These are some of the most selfless people on earth that give only of themselves. So I think that's one of the most important things to remember.
Brian, thank you for your service, too, for us. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
What you've been listening to is a conversation with Chris Fabry and his special guest, Brian, a Navy SEAL and one of Adam Brown's closest friends. Adam Brown's story of courage and determination has prompted many comments and stories from the people who have read it. And now it has been the inspiration for an original song written and performed by Mark Dowdy.
While reading Fearless, I was so inspired by Adam Brown's determination to face some incredible challenges, his addiction, and also what to most would be career-ending disabilities. The loss of his right eye was definitely something I could identify with, having lost the vision in my right eye as a child. So through this process of reading the book, I determined that I wanted to write the song that would honor Adam's life and honor the Brown family. And I do appreciate everyone who is serving in our military today, and this song goes out to everyone on this special holiday. Thank you so much.
Be brave. Stand tall, believe you'll get stronger whenever you fall. Each time life brings you pain, keep faith, rise up above that voice that keeps calling your name in the dark. Walk on. You're not alone. You can live fearless. Second chance is hope renewed. Now he's fighting for the red, white, and blue. His wife and kids by his side. He's a picture of American pride. Life is good, so complete. He said, I'm so glad love never gave up on me. Be brave, be brave, stand tall.
The song Fearless is a tribute to Adam Brown, an American hero who, along with his family, never gave up. Mark hopes this song will inspire you to learn more about Adam Brown and to be brave, stand tall, and live fearless, just like Adam. This has been the Fearless Radio Special, the undaunted courage and ultimate sacrifice of Navy SEAL Team 6 operator Adam Brown. You can discover and learn more about the life of Adam Brown at fearlessnavyseal.com. That's fearlessnavyseal.com. One of Adam Brown's final wishes, written by hand on one of his military forms, was that his spiritual testimony be told, including a phrase he wrote, "My life before I met Christ and Kelly." Adam Brown was even fearless during that time when he requested others share that dark period from his past. Even in death, he selflessly and publicly risked tainting his own legacy so that others might be inspired to see Jesus Christ and overcome their own struggles. We end our program today with a final comment from Adam's wife, Kelly Brown, Here once again is Dennis Rainey.
There's no way to express what undoubtedly our listeners are feeling for Adam and for you and your son and daughter for protecting us. And I know many have said thank you, but I feel compelled to say it one more time.
You know, that's all I need to hear is a thank you. Because, you know, Adam believed very much in what he was doing, and I supported that. And to ask him to stop doing what he was doing or pull back because of a little injury, what he considered or any of that, it would have changed the man I loved and what I fell in love with was his passion. So a thank you to me just lets me know that you are grateful that we have this country we live in because of men like Adam, and also the men of that troop, that all of the men that were with my husband the night of his mission, all the men of Two Troop, the ones that came back and paid the tribute to Adam off the bridge, they all perished August 2011, August 6th. It was the Chinook that went down. And so I lost a lot of friends that day. So Brian Bill and Kevin Houston and John Foss, and I could just list the names. I could list them. And I had to tell my kids again. And they just started calling off names to me, and I was like, he's gone. He's gone. He's gone. They called a friend of ours, Kevin. They called him Uncle Juicy. But the thing about that is, you know, I kept telling myself, you know, God, why Adam? Why Adam? Why did you take him? And now I realize that Adam had to go first. He had to go first because they learned.
They heard.
They heard the story of Jesus. They saw his love through Adam. And there was a friend of ours, so Kevin, Uncle Juicy, this big, tough guy that we had invited to church for years and years and years. And he came, and, you know, he didn't start off so eloquently or whatever. He'd come to church, and he'd be chewing his dip and spitting in the, you know, it's just what it is. And I was just glad he was there. And his wife was working on him. She was praying for him. And he was consistent, though, in his church. And then when Adam passed away, you just saw a change in Kevin. And he was really struggling with why Adam had to leave this world. And Adam's last words were, I'm okay, when he spoke. And they told me, you know, Matt Mason was there, and who also now is gone. And he said, Kelly, we really believe he was okay. He was letting go, and he was entering into this heaven of just, he was okay. He was home. He didn't have to be brave anymore. He was home. And them watching his passing, Kevin, May 15th of 2011, walked to the front of our church. And because of Adam's life, he humbled himself and dropped to his knees in the front of our church with his hands raised up high and asked the Lord to come into his heart. Little did he know he was going to die 2 months later. And so now I feel like I know why he had to go first. Because if not, Kevin would not be in heaven. I know that. And there's such a eternal significance to Adam's life and the testimony that he has and he can share. And it's reaching people in places where it's not traditionally reached. And I'm thankful for that.
Keep faith. Rise up above that voice that keeps calling your name in the dark. Walk on. You're not alone. You can live fearless.
The Fearless Radio Special is a presentation of Waterbrook Multnomah Publishing and was written and produced by Westar Media Group. Thank you for listening.
Powerful storytelling. May we all learn to be servants of others, exhibiting faith in the great God that we know and love, and caring for our family. This special one-hour program called Fearless is archived at greatnewsradio.org, and you can find out more at fearlessnavyseal.com. That's fearlessnavyseal.com. Thank you, God, for our veterans, those that have served in our military and armed forces. And so I trust you'll encourage a veteran that you see this weekend, attend maybe some special services that are provided throughout the area, and remember those that have gone before us that have served so that we can enjoy the freedoms we have. Encourage a veteran today and bless those families that you know that have lost loved ones through some of the many battles and wars over the past years. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.